Saying hello to Quincy City Council President, Councillor at Large Nina Liang, to chat about the council meeting of June 15th. Hi, Nina, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Appreciate this. Was this the last meeting for the legislative session?
It was until September 8th.
Oh, okay. Very good. Of course, the big item was the budget. How did it go?
It went well. We had some questions after our last budget hearing that we got information on prior to this one. And so that was really helpful informing the conversation moving into last night. And we were able to sort of, you know, ask through some of the, I think, wrap-up questions that some of the colleagues of mine had, and we moved forward with them and were able to vote on the budget last night.
Any significant changes to the budget?
No, it again was presented to us already pretty tight and level funded. Again, no increases anywhere. You know, a lot of the work that we did, you know, during the finance committee meetings when we were reviewing the budget was just looking at areas where we might have seen some expenditures weren't spent to the, you know, to the capacity in previous years, and just having an understanding of, you know, what spending practices are going to be moving forward. We do that every single year. So even though the budget came in already very tight, we, you know, always like to make sure we're going through it again as well. So
I know there was a question raised about the health insurance for Quincy College employees. Was that rectified?
It was, yes. I mean, so the college is still an entity of the city. And the question was, you know, do we want to continue to allocate the $2.4 million to cover the health insurance of the employees at the college? And that is, again, because it's an entity of the city, a cost we either have to cover now or 3 months from now. And so that was a question of, you know, where does the money come from? And again, it is already a city department. So it does, like other departments, come from the city.
Okay, very good. And was it a unanimous vote?
For that one, yes. Mm-hmm. For the budget, yeah.
Okay. I see also in the agenda that there was recognition of Pride Month. Didn't have the annual Pride celebration, obviously, because of the pandemic. But what happened for that?
Yeah, we had, so Sheikha Babin, who's chair of Q Pride, she came and led us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and she's also a member of the city's LGBTQ commission. And so it was really impactful to have her there. And honestly, it was a great opportunity for us to just express our gratitude. You know, she's one of many people in the community who have worked very hard over a number of years, even well before the Q Pride events, you know, have been advocates in the city for LGBTQ rights and issues. And so, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't have all of them on the meeting last night, but to be able to at least have Sheikha on there and just give our thanks and our gratitude to the whole community for the work they've done to get us to this point. You know, we certainly still have a ways to go. There's always room for improvement. But again, just to stop and celebrate Pride Month and recognize, you know, the work that residents have done here in the city to date to get us to where we are, it was really neat. It was a really great opportunity to be able to give our thanks for that.
Yeah, kind of a historic time also with the Supreme Court ruling regarding employment opportunities for LGBTQ individuals. So I'm sure she was pleased to talk about that.
Yeah, it was a very powerful night, I think, for all of us. And similar to a lot of the events that have been happening here in the city, it would have been wonderful to see her in person and thank her in person. But, you know, if virtual is all we can get, then, you know, we'll take it. So we were really grateful that she took the time to be with us last night.
Sure. Just looking over, I see a lot of appropriations from the Community Preservation Fund. Were those approved?
Yes. So these are the typical year-end transfers that happen. Sure. Funds get appropriated out to the respective departments. And because, again, it has to do with finances, it does have to go through the City Council for approval.
Sure. All right, so that took out the bulk of your time, it looks like, actually, was the appropriations.
It was. The budget, too, was, I think, the bulk of our conversation last night. One thing that I was really excited about, and, you know, whenever I come and I talk to you about these things, I, you know, like to sort of capture the entirety of the council meeting, but one thing that was pointed out last night were actually two things I want to sort of mention that were brought up in sort of like not the agenda that you had received, but outside of the agenda, there's an opportunity to take things out of committee, and there's opportunity for, you know, other colleagues of mine to mention things that they are working on currently. And so there were a few things there that are actually really exciting that I'd love to talk about. One is something that I had worked with Ruthie over at the health department on. And this came from, I think you and I had spoken about this when it was first introduced and put into the ordinance committee. It was the order to adopt the state code 21D to essentially give the health department the ability to write citations for areas that they're already overseeing. And so yes. Specifically for Ruthie and our health department, I mean, they've been nonstop 24/7 for the last 3.5 months. And particularly right now, as we're starting these different phases of reopening, it's more important now than ever that she has the ability when she's going in and when her, you know, her staff and her team are going in to monitor situations and make sure that there are no, you know, violations, that she has the ability to also cite them, you know? And so the adoption of that state law allows her to do so, specifically with certain areas that she doesn't currently, right? So camps, restaurants, and other areas where, again, she does have oversight, it does give teeth to the work that she's doing. And it was something that I was really passionate about. You know, again, that incredibly, incredibly awful, unfortunate death that we had at Walmart, you know, it was a good family friend. And it's still, it's not ever going to be enough. It's not ever going to be enough for anybody who we've lost to this pandemic. But to be able to say that, you know, we made changes and we are trying to do more to make sure that those who are violating these safety protocols that we're putting into place, and if they're putting into jeopardy employees and the public, you know, that we do have the ability to go in there and to cite them and to make sure that they are abiding by these regulations. You know, we're not here to tell them how to run their business, but we certainly are here to make sure that they're keeping everyone safe, including their employees. And, you know, it's incredibly awful and disheartening that that was not the case with Walmart, you know, and I'm hoping that we won't ever have a case like that again. And this was a step in that direction, at least for our end, you know, on our side, for us to be able to do something more, which I hope they will follow as well. So I was thrilled to have my colleagues support that. I'm really grateful for their support with that measure. And, you know, as we can, you know, start to reopen and start to have folks, you know, enjoying the outdoors again and, you know, dining outdoors and keeping, you know, a safe distance from folks, that, you know, we are all working together, and it takes a collective, I think, effort from all of us to make sure that we're doing that. So when you have the one-offs like Walmart who aren't following those protocols, we need to make sure that we have, again, the teeth to those citations and to the regulations that we want to implement. So I was thrilled to see that. My colleague, I know that he had also come on to your show and spoken about this as well, but Ward 3 Counselor Ian Kane had shared with us the winners of the writing assignment and competition that he put out there. And it was really important, I think, for him to create that opportunity for students. You know, it's everything is so, you know, about technology these days, right? We're all on our phones, we're all on our iPads, we're all on computers. I mean, even students these days, the only way they were able to do any learning was through their Chromebooks, right? And so to be so technologically tied the last few months, I think also takes an emotional toll on certainly even adults, let alone kids, you know? So to give them an opportunity to actually put pen to paper, or even if they are still on their computer, but they're putting their thoughts out and writing something, you know, and expressing themselves in that way, I think is really powerful. And so I was thrilled to hear Counselor Kane share with us the winners of that competition. And he's going to be sharing with us the writing samples of those who won as well. And so I'm really looking forward to reading them. I think that was a great opportunity for us to engage the youth and to give them something outside of just staring at a computer and, you know, going through the motions these days. It's really challenging. It's really tough. You know, it's challenging for everyone, but I think particularly for our kids right now with what's going on. So that was great. I was so thrilled to see him do that. And then something else that we're working on as well is, and this is a collective effort from Councilor Pramucci, Councilor Kroll, Councilor Mahoney, and myself. We're going to be leading a series of conversations over the next few weeks to address and talk about what's happening right now with the Black Lives Matter movement. I think that, again, this is something that we've heard a lot from a lot of people on across the city, from a lot of people who have different experiences, different backgrounds, that are bringing different voices to the table. And as legislators here in the city, it's really important above everything else for us to stop and to listen. You know, I certainly have my own experience being an Asian American who's grown up in the city, but my experience is not the same as another Asian American person who grew up in the city, right? And so too, do we have to make sure that we're listening to people who are willing to come and share their experiences with us. Again, particularly right now with the Black Lives Matter movement, we can't claim to, you know, put out blanket statements or to put out blanket policies unless we take a moment to stop and to really listen first and foremost. And so Councillor Pamwich was really at the helm of this effort, which I really am grateful to him for. But we're going to be kicking off a series of three community meetings to start over the summer. And hopefully from there, we continue to work down this path. But again, it's really important. There's a lot of calls to action for us and a lot of calls to action that people are asking of us. But it's really important that before we do any of that, we just take these opportunities to stop and to listen. So again, these were really interesting. These three things were really interesting, really great conversations that were had that weren't on your regularly scheduled agenda. But it was really, you know, I think informative for us to be able to talk through some of those things last night on the meeting as well.
So with regards to these community meetings, Nina, first of all, how will they work logistically? Are they virtual meetings or in-person meetings?
Yeah, unfortunately, again, you know, given what's happening right now, certainly the state and the community, we're starting to open the doors on restaurants and the beaches and all that again, but we are still doing so very carefully. And we certainly wouldn't want to put anybody in harm's way. And so in order to get moving on these meetings as soon as we could, but also being respectful of people's health and safety, we are going to plan to do these virtually. Again, you know, depending on how they go, if we can continue doing them in the near future and we can do so in person, I think that would be great. I know, you know, my colleagues and I, we much prefer to chat with folks in person. So hopefully that will be the case. But unfortunately right now, again, just out of everyone's safety, we want to make sure that we're doing it virtually so that we can be protective of everyone.
Okay. And will there be actual agendas or is it just kind of an open forum discussion? How will it actually work?
A little bit of both. So there certainly is an agenda in so far as we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to have their voices heard. I mean, as of right now, we have over 100 RSVPs and that'll make it difficult. We don't want to slight anyone's time, but we also want to be respectful of whoever is taking the time to be there to share their story with us. And so we want to make sure that there are actionable items after each meeting, and that is something that we do have in mind. And so each meeting in and of itself does have an action plan after it, but that first one is a listening session for all of us.
Okay, and who will be invited from the city to these meetings?
Everyone, we want everyone who is interested to listen with us, to, you know, everyone who's interested in sharing their stories, anybody who, you know, wants to be a part of this process. We think that we tried to get as many people involved as possible because, again, each person, even in this city, their experiences are their own. And that, I think, is really important to recognize, but it's also important to take that and to have that inform the work we do moving forward, you know, because whatever policies or legislation come out of this, it impacts everyone across the city, you know, and so we need to make sure that we do this listening tour first and foremost before we do anything around policy.
Will there be representatives from the police department speaking?
So nothing formally. Again, even though the four of us are hosting it, you know, the four of us don't have any formal speaking part in it either, right? This is, again, meant to be a space where whoever is interested in coming and participating, we want it to be a sort of open listening session for everyone involved. So if there are folks in the police department who are interested in joining and sharing their stories and experiences as well, we want everyone in the city who is impacted, because I think everyone is impacted by this and one way or the other. You know, we want people to come and recognize that this is a space that we want to make as safe possible so that people can feel comfortable sharing their stories with us.
Okay, have the dates and times been set that you can share with us?
They have, yes. I can send that to you after this if you'd like as well. So it's all set up on a Facebook post.
Oh, okay, very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after these three meetings, what will happen then?
Yeah, so I think the intention for us is that we are hoping that these three meetings will help us to inform next steps that we can take as a legislative body moving forward. You know, again, whatever we decide to do as a body, it impacts everyone across the city because it's legislation for the entire city, right? We can't pick and choose that, nor should we, you know? And so we don't want to collectively come up with next steps without taking into consideration feedback from the residents and from the community. So again, not only is that sharing their stories and sharing their experiences, but also almost like a large working group, right? Like working with us to think through what are some, you know, solid next steps that we can take as your legislators. And let's make sure that we all are a part of that, you know, that we are all part of shaping what that might look like. And so that's the hope, is that after all of this, we can really point to a series of work experiences and groups that we can say, this is a solid next step. And it's a step that we all came to as a community based off of what we've heard, what we've learned, and what we shared with one another, you know? So it's going to be important that we, again, get as many voices in as possible before we move forward on any of this.
Okay. Do you personally think that there need to be some reforms within the Quincy Police Department?
No, I mean, yes and no, right? I think that some of the conversations that I've had with folks who have been asking for quote unquote reform in the police departments have talked a lot about, you know, what we can do to expand on DEI training, diversity, equity, and inclusion training. And I actually had the ability to have a training on this about a year and a half ago when somebody said to me, they said, you know, it shouldn't be called diversity, right? It shouldn't be called diversity training, because what do you mean by diversity training? And it's such a broad statement. And somebody had mentioned during one of these trainings that you really should be calling it a justice and equality training. And it's about, you know, learning what it is that defines you as a community and what you consider as diversity in your community, you know? And I just think that these conversations are really informative and should be had by all private and public working groups. You know, when you have a collective of people who are working together, again, in the private or public sector, you know, to be able to have conversations about justice and equality, I think is always beneficial. And we can always do more of that, you know, in all the departments across the city. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I really admire and really am proud of in our city is our police department. You know, I personally, and I'm speaking from my own experience, have not personally had ever any issues, you know, being born and raised here with the police department. They've always been so helpful in my personal life and professional life. You know, when I've had any concerns around, you know, loud noises and fireworks and music going off in the middle of the night and having to call them on that, you know, if there's been issues where I see somebody who potentially is getting hurt, you know, to be able to call the police department right away as well. My younger sister, you know, has severe developmental disabilities, and always making sure that she is safe and protected when she's out there, and any issues that come up, I've always been able to rely on the police department as well. I mean, I've, again, this is just speaking from my personal experience, have always had great experiences with the Quincy Police Department. And, you know, in talking to folks across the city as well, again, these are just from the few experiences that I've heard. That's why this listening tour is important, you know, to see what other voices maybe we haven't heard yet. But it doesn't happen by mistake. You know, if you sort of take a look and you see what's happened in other cities and towns and what's happened here in this city, I certainly don't think we're immune to it. I don't think that there is this, you know, fictitious like shield around the city where we're immune to some of these things that we're seeing in other major cities and towns. And I say cities and towns because even though we have a small town feel, we are a major city. You know, we're close to 100,000 people. We're, you know, after the census, maybe going to be like the sixth largest city in the state. I mean, we're not a small town by any means. We're a large city. And I look at some of these other large cities where some of these things are happening, and it's awful. And I just think, I'm like, you know, that hasn't happened here yet, you know? And I say, yeah, just because I don't want to create these blanket statements, but it hasn't happened. And I don't think it's because, again, we are somehow immune to it, that we have this force field around the city of Quincy where it just, you know, on its own by happenstance doesn't happen. I think it happens because of good leadership. I think it happens because there are conversations that happen within the police department. I have conversations with Chief Keenan almost daily since all of this has been happening. And he continues to make it a priority to say that it all goes into the training of these officers. You know, it goes into having open dialogue with these officers. And I think it's important that our chief has that very front of mind. But he's had that front of mind since before, you know, these conversations were starting. And I think that's really important to note, right? That by no means is this not an issue, but I think it's also important to recognize what we have done well over the years. You know, if you look at, you know, we've now had two peaceful protests here in the city. We've had two marches here in the city where hundreds and thousands of people have gathered and marched across the city and had success doing so. And I think it's so powerful, you know, in that alone, to see, you know, these peaceful marches across the entire city. I think that in and of itself is a really powerful message. I mean, I don't know if you saw the photos, Joe, but from that first march that happened where it spanned the entire city, you know, we had police officers in uniform, you know, riding their bikes alongside the marchers. We had police officers in their cars clearing traffic and making sure that, you know, as the march kept going, the police officers just kept stopping traffic as it went. You know, they never stopped to say, this is where it ends. You know, you need to turn around. They just kept going. They just kept going and said, as long as this is going to move forward, we're going to continue to block traffic and make sure that you're safe on the road, on the main road across the entire city. So I think pointing specifically here in Quincy, again, I'm not trying to say that there isn't a problem, but again, I think it's also important to recognize things that we have done well. And again, looking at even just those marches alone, you know, to see that, I mean, it was incredibly powerful. And, you know, I remember after that night, after that first protest and after that first march, you know, seeing videos posted where, again, the police officers were right alongside the marchers and were going down Hancock Street right alongside these marchers. It just, it filled my heart. It made me so proud. It made me really, really proud of the women and men in uniform here in this city.
Very well. Appreciate your time, Nina. Anything else you'd like to leave with us today?
No, I feel like I talked a lot. I feel like I said a lot, but you know, these are, I think, really, really challenging times, really emotionally raw times for a lot of people. And I appreciate you giving me the space here with you today. So thank you.
Oh, that's our goal and our mission really is to provide a forum and a venue. So we're happy to do that. Do you anticipate the council getting together in person over the summertime at all? Or
I hope so. You know, the previous council president, Brad Kroll, talk about, you know, having big shoes to fill. I remember a few years ago, had us all just get together just for fun, you know, and just to spend some time hanging out with each other down by the beach. And that was awesome, you know. So I don't know. I hope I can do that. But we all, again, you know, want to make sure that we respect everyone's health and safety above all else. So hopefully we can do that. Hopefully we can see each other in person. I can't wait till I can see you guys in person again, too. And if that is before summer's end, then definitely we should be going to the beach and all taking some time to get together again.
That's great. How are businesses responding to the phase two opening? What are you hearing from the business community?
So far, so good. I haven't heard anything particularly from business owners, but I've heard from residents that they are so thrilled, just head over heels thrilled that they can go and just sit outside and enjoy, you know, a beer with somebody or like have, you know, some great lobster rolls with somebody. I've had some great lobster rolls. They are amazing. I'm so thrilled to, you know, to see them open again. I mean, everyone is learning, you know, this is different for all of us and challenging for all of us. And I honestly commend all of the business owners for being so flexible in all of these changes that continue to happen, you know, but it's great. It's great to be able to drive by and see, you know, I went down Hancock Street yesterday over in the Wollaston area. And I saw some of the restaurants that had just, you know, outdoor seating, and that in and of itself was really neat to see, you know? So I think, you know, I really commend all of the restaurant owners and business owners for being so flexible. It's not been an easy time for a number of reasons, even for them. And they've really taken it in stride and they're opening their doors again. So I encourage people to go to the quincyma.gov website, take a look at which restaurants are serving right now outdoors. It's beautiful out. So go out and grab some food and sit at those tables that are distanced from other tables and just enjoy being out again.
Yeah. And you mentioned the census too.
Everyone should fill out the census. 100%. Thank you, Joe. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.